Okay, well, I guess we'll go ahead and get started so that we can make sure that we're ending on time. So if you guys don't mind, we'll just bow our head for a word of prayer. Abba, we thank you and praise you for being our mighty, heavenly, glorious King. And we just thank you that we're alive and well today, that you have sustained our breath one more day to give you glory and honor and praise in this earth. I pray, Father, that you would be with every word that I speak. Communicate your message to your people. We thank you and praise you for your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, who died for our sins so that we can be with you in spirit and in truth. In his name we pray. Amen. All right, welcome to Life Abundant. My name is Michelle Gellings, and I just wanted to share a little bit of my life testimony of what I've been through and what I feel like is lacking in our movement is the health message. It's very hard for me to see sometimes the things that people are eating, even if it's biblically clean, because I know that it's causing harm to their body in such a way that even at one point, being a vegetarian, I was almost on my deathbed. So it's not even a matter if you eat meat or don't eat meat or this and that. It's the way that we're just kind of piling it all in and not digesting our food and not making wise choices. And whether it's because we have busy schedules or we're going on the run or it's just lack of information or whatever it is, we need to take care of ourselves so that when God has a purpose for us or we're commissioned to go do something, we're not being held back by disease and lack of energy and all sorts of stuff. So this is my husband, Nick, and my daughter, Hannah, and they will be helping me also in this presentation because a lot of the focus that I'm going to be emphasizing is food combining. Because if we don't combine our food properly, we won't get the right nutrition from it. And that's what is one of the biggest problems happening right now. And even in the naturopathic health movement, which I'm trying to obtain my PhD in naturopathic medicine, and it's just very interesting to see that, you know, Abba had it always from the beginning. It's there. We may have not paid attention to it, but everything that I study, because it is in the New Agey side of things, I put against the Word and say, well, if this is true, then Abba must have said it first. And where is it in your Word? Because I always want to make sure I'm filtering things through Him. And it's there. It's there. Even food combining is there. And there's a physical and a spiritual aspect to it. So I started going down this road. I would have to say the only thing that we really practiced in our home was once we started finding out about biblical diet, we decided we weren't going to eat pork anymore and shrimp. But we really had no idea the extent that the Father wanted us to be as far as healthy. We just kind of thought that's good. That means we're doing good. Until there started to become ambulance trips to the hospital for myself. I think one of the scariest times that we had when we knew that something was wrong is my family had gone over to another family's house for dinner, and they were taking us around their new home, and I started to feel my arm losing feeling, and it was my left arm. And my friend whose house we were at, she's an RN, and she works at a huge hospital in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, near where we live. And I said, well, Sarah, it's really weird. I'm losing feeling in my arm. I don't know what's going on. And she was like, huh, that's weird. And as we're walking, I just kind of, push it aside and just keep, going through the tour of their home. And it's starting to get worse. Like, it's just like my fingers are going numb and I'm not understanding what's going on. It's like I can't even grasp my hand together anymore. And it's going up my shoulder. And I was like, wait, this is really weird. Like, my arm is getting more tingly and numb, and I'm feeling short of breath. And she knew that something was really wrong. And she said, put your hand out and squeeze my fingers. She put her fingers like this, squeeze them. And I couldn't even hold with this arm anything. And the minute she said, we have to treat this as if you're having a heart attack. Sit down on the couch, and we're going to elevate your feet. I was already starting to pass out. It happened that quickly. And they called the ambulance, and I thought I was dying right then. I mean, I was dying, but I thought I was going to die at that moment because I could feel my heart just feeling like it was going to beat out my chest. And I was very scared, and I remember looking into his eyes, and I'm sure he was very scared too, and my children are all around as they're putting me on the stretcher to go to the hospital. And in the midst of it all, there happened to be tornadoes going on around, and they couldn't go this way to the hospital. They had to go around that way and all this other kind of stuff. It was pretty crazy. And I just remember thinking to myself, you know, I don't know what's going on, God, but I got kids. I'm not ready to leave yet, you know. And at that time, I had defecated in my pants. I couldn't hold any of myself together, basically, at that point. They got me to the hospital and did test after test after test and couldn't find anything wrong with me. My heart would beat to the point of like rapid exercise, as if I was on the treadmill or running around, and then it would go to stopping for 8 beats at a time. And they still couldn't find anything wrong with me. And so they sent me home, because the emergency room is just for that, to make sure that you don't die. And if you don't die, they say, follow up with your physician. And I wasn't seeing a physician. So this happened for weeks, and it just kept getting worse and worse. And I was getting more and more frustrated and more upset by the fact that obviously something was going on, and for doctors to say there was nothing wrong. They started wanting to put labels on me with anxiety, and they even suggested that I would see a shrink. I guess they thought that I was maybe mentally insane and dreaming these things.
For it, where you think yourself sick.
Like, yeah, you hypochondriac.
It's kind of like that.
You know.
But it's a medical treatment.
But yeah, my mom, she's a RN, and she said, you know, you need to request your medical records to see what they're writing in there. Because once you get labeled with this label, it's in there, and they will treat you like you have this dysfunction in your brain to think that you are like a hypochondriac. But it doesn't say hypochondriac; it's a certain medical term. And so, sure enough, they had put that in there. And so they're thinking now I have anxiety and all this other thing that's just causing this problem. Well, one of the ultrasounds that they did, they saw a cyst growing on my ovary. This is not the first time that I ever had a cyst on my ovary. I actually had a growth on my ovary when I was 18 years old, and I was getting ready to go to work, and it ruptured. I didn't know that it had ruptured until I went to go put my arm up to my head to brush my hair, and I couldn't even hold my arm up, fell on the floor, was rushed to the emergency room, and my parents were told that, say goodbye to your daughter, because she's probably not coming through this. I lost over half my blood. I did have to have a blood transfusion, and it took me weeks to recuperate off of that instant illness alone. So I had a lifelong issue with that, and I attribute that to many things. I wasn't eating clean. My mom did the very best that she could with what the foods that she gave us, but looking back on some of the things that we ate, I definitely would not eat them today. Even if they're considered kosher or whatever. I am thankful, though, because she never gave us, like, sugary cereal. I mean, I remember going over to friends' houses to eat, and that's what I wanted to have. Like, their mom's making pancakes, and I'm like, can we just eat Cocoa Puffs? Because I wanted the sugary cereal. She did do the best that she could do. But I also attribute it to, like, when I ate steak, I liked mine bloody. So I was eating really, you know, I ate steak like that my whole life, and the disease is in the blood. And I also was promiscuous. And that is one of the main contributing factors to cancer in women. And it's so profound that my daughter and I started a ministry called Prom Ministries, promoting purity, particularly for young girls. Mm-hmm. Because it's not just that it doubles your chances of getting ovarian cancer or uterine cancer, it exponentially compounds the chance of getting cancer for every sexual partner that you have. So I took it as it was a consequence, what the things that were going on was a consequence of my sin. Not at that time, but when Abba revealed to me that it wasn't him hurting me, it's what I had done to myself, and he was going to heal me. So these things continued. I had an ultrasound that revealed a cyst in the size of an almond on my ovary, and it grew to the size of a grapefruit in 3 days. And so they said, we need to do emergency surgery and get this out of there so that it doesn't rupture again like you've had before. But the funny thing is, it's not really funny. It's Abba's providence, what he had for me. Every single time something was supposed to happen, it didn't happen medically in the Western medical way. Because it was such an emergency that they needed to get me on the schedule to get that thing out. But my doctor was going on vacation. So it wasn't going to happen for 2 weeks. And I was thinking, yes. So, I was thinking, how is this, like, how are you trying to push, but then somebody else's schedule doesn't work and I'm supposed to wait? This thing grew like that in 3 days. What's going to happen in another 3 days? And this was time after time. I'm not kidding. Cardio tests and this, I mean, everything was getting blocked. That the only thing I could do was have people pray for me and put my trust in the Father. And from that point began my search for health outside of Western medicine. And I began juicing, strictly juice for 2 weeks. No food whatsoever, water and juice. And in 2 weeks, the day before I was supposed to have my surgery, they did the ultrasound and the cyst was completely gone. Yay. Praise God. And not only, and I do want to praise the Father indeed, because I always want to give him first and foremost the credit, because I did have people praying for me. So I believe it was a combination of his prayer and the juicing and whatnot. They were so in disbelief that the OBGYN said, this just does not happen. This does not happen. Like, they insisted on doing an internal exam because they said, you either cut those things out or they burst, but they do not go away on their own. Mm-hmm. And I sat there in complete confidence knowing that it was gone. And it was gone. But the cancer was still in my body. That was just one physical side of what was going on. The cancer was still in my blood, and I continued to have problems for 2 more years. And I knew every time that something was going on there, and I still do. I can feel twisting, and if anybody has any problems with that, any women particularly, they'll know what I'm talking about. I've heard other people talk about it. It's a twisting. It feels like there's an alien in there. If you've ever been pregnant before, it feels like you've got kicking going on, but you're like, I'm not pregnant. It feels like there's another growth, and that's because it is. Cancer is really a replication of ourself. And when we put that into like the spiritual sense of it, it's the enemy trying to duplicate us in a form outside of the way that Abba created us. Mm-hmm. And in fact, if anybody has done any research on cancer or cysts, some of them can actually have teeth and hair. Mm-hmm. Mine did. My grandmother's did. It literally is the enemy trying to recreate us in a sick, diseased form. Yes, you can look it up. There's like 3 main types of cysts. And, you know, some of them have follicles and hair and this and that, but they can have teeth and everything. Mm-hmm. Yep. So that is, and cancer, the root word of it is sarca, and it actually means, it's from sarcasm, the same word from sarcasm. Mm-hmm. And if you know what sarcasm does to you, it's not a very nice thing. It kills you. Mm-hmm. If you've ever dealt with a sarcastic person, it literally will kill you. And so I thought, wow, I've been really sarcastic in my life, very negative. I've cursed myself time and time again, and I've let other people curse me, and this is just what's been happening as a result of sin in my life and sin in other people's life. It wasn't, though, and I want to give, again, credence to the Father, because it wasn't until I totally surrendered that he began my healing. And I thought I had surrendered about 3 dozen times or more. And I was getting so frustrated because I was like, I'm doing this. I'm praying. I'm being anointed. I'm crying my eyes out. Why are you not doing anything? Why, God? And it wasn't because sometimes, you know, we do our daily prayers and it's kind of surface. You know, thank you, God, for my life. I surrender everything to you today. But it's not until he digs into the depths of us, and as John says, this is our core. And maybe if any of you are exercise enthusiasts or health enthusiasts, you know that this is the energy. As John says, living waters shall flow from us. So if we are sick here, we are sick. This is our energy center. And we're not getting energy that we should to the rest of our body. And so one day I was laying on my couch, having my pity party because I couldn't get up. And my husband, when he'd bring me a glass of water, I could barely hold on to the glass of water. I had absolutely no strength in my body at all. And I was very mad. I was watching them as they're interacting, and a lot of times, and my daughters and my children, my husband attest, I just pretty much sat there with a downcast countenance, looking at them, interacting, playing, laughing, and I just didn't know what this was about, how God could just allow this, that I couldn't even take care of my own kids. I was upset that he gave them to me and I couldn't even take care of them. And I said, fine, God, if you want me, take me. I am done trying to fight. Just get it over with. Don't let them suffer watching me die like this. Just do it. I don't know what you're going to do because my husband barely cooks pizza and macaroni and cheese. So you must have some kind of grand scheme because I don't know how he's going to homeschool. I don't know how he's going to do laundry. I don't know how he's going to do any of this kind of stuff because he needs me. And I was like, I don't know how you're going to pull it off, but I'm sure you have a plan. So I give up. I'm done. Just take my life already. I'm giving you my kids. I'm giving you my husband. What I realized is I idolized many things. That food, I realized I idolized a long time before that. But I also was idolizing my husband and my children and my life, really. And within 3 days, my husband started cooking and cleaning and doing laundry. And I was like, I'm dead. I'm really dead. Like, Abba is showing me that it's going to be all right, and I am dead. And so then I was even more, it's over. You know, forget it. I should have been happy, but I was like, wow, I'm really going to die. And actually, it was that point that I realized, like, I got off the couch today. I made it to the bathroom without grabbing onto the countertop, feeling like I was going to fall over. And every day it got a little bit better and a little bit better because I was totally surrendered and I let them go. I let my husband and my kids go. And I don't think until sometimes we get that crossroads that we realize how much we hold on to some of the things in our life, you know. And so then that's when my true healing began. So I continued to have problems though. And I did learn this from my OBGYN, who was Western medicine, who I did end up stop seeing. But women, you could maybe attest this or not. This does not apply to men. But when there's areas in the female reproduction system, it can cause constipation. Around that time of the month, a woman could get constipated a couple days. Then she begins her cycle. And it will relieve because the body is holding on to the food and everything, the energy storage, thinking, uh-oh, something's wrong here, store this. But as soon as the body realizes, oh, nope, it's just the normal cycle, then they usually are able to go and it's fine. Well, I was still having a lot of problem with constipation. There was a point where I did not go to the bathroom for 3 weeks. And they literally said I was full of it. I heard my husband say I was full of it before. Yeah. But they were telling me officially I was full of it. And that they would have to cut it out if it didn't get going. And they were putting everything down my throat possible. Castor oil and this and glycerin something and all this kind of stuff. And it was not moving. And I was reading a book, something to the title of How to Cure Yourself of IBS, Colitis, and Crohn's. And I was reading that book, and the author of that book in the back had his information in there. And I thought, I'm just going to try to call him. I'm probably not going to get a hold of him, but I'm going to just try to call him. Now, I tend to believe that he's not a believer. I think he's in the New Age movement with health. But at any rate, I got a hold of him on the first ring.
Wow.
He told me to send me my diet via fax for the last 2 weeks. And at this point, I was already a vegetarian. So again, I am a vegan, but I'm not here to convince you not to eat meat. I'm here to convince you to eat your food in the proper way so you get the most digestion out of it. Amen. That's it. Because I was a vegetarian and I was still having issues. Because it's not a matter of necessarily what you're eating, but how you eat it. And so he saw my diet and saw that I was having fruit salad with walnuts in it and pumpkin seeds. And oh my goodness, he said, I had even done raw. I had been raw for a year, raw food. and they tell you, you know, have these really great desserts that's like nuts and dates and all this, that, you know, I'm like, woohoo, I can still have brownies and all this, you know, and terrible, terrible for your digestion. I was literally blowing up my guts, blowing up my stomach. And there was times where I'd be so distended, I'm never a flat stomach because I've had five kids, but I'd be roughly, you know, a little bit flatter with my stomach, and within 6 days I'm out to here.
Wow.
And my kids are like, Mom, you look like you're pregnant. I'm like, thanks, you know, I appreciate that, you know, just out there. And it was bad, you know, and it was really bad. And he said, hold on, don't worry, don't fret. Don't take any more stuff, no more Senna. And I'm not here to promote herbs or any of that either, because the thing is we're using those as pharmaceuticals just the same, and that is witchcraft. Mm-hmm. We have to be careful. Mm-hmm. Just because it's natural doesn't mean that we're not putting our trust in that versus ABBA. And I was taking Senna, and I was like, well, castor oil is kind of natural, and this isn't anything to do what I wanted to happen without praying about it first and really trusting the Father in it. So we have to be careful. If your body's not doing something that it shouldn't be manipulated to do it, no matter what it is. Mm-hmm. You have to figure out why it's not functioning the way that it is, period. Those things could be like a temporary, you know, thing, but it's just like black tea or whatever. If you're tired, you need to sleep. Doesn't matter if it's coffee or black tea or whatever. You shouldn't be forcing yourself to stay awake. And doing that too long is going to cause a problem. So anyway, he said, don't take any more Senna. Don't take any more of this stuff. Just water and wait. Don't eat any more food. You're gonna go. So I'm going on 3 weeks, and I'm just sitting very uncomfortably waiting. And 3 days later, I relieved a lot. And he said, stop these food combinations. And he told me the three major ones, and I did not. It was amazing. I was like, I was going to the bathroom four times a month. And it doesn't, sometimes depending on how damaged a person's insides are, they're either going to maybe be constipated, have reflux or whatnot, or colitis, which is diarrhea. Because some people are like, well, I didn't have that problem. I went to the bathroom. I can go to the bathroom. Well, having the reverse effect isn't good either. And I'll talk about that, because it's a combination of a whole bunch of things. So he started to tell me about this food combining, and I thought, Abba, where is this in your word? Well, I'm not really big on scripture, so you'll have to go back. And what happened is I had them all in my phone. My phone won't even hold charge. It's wigged out. Our computer crashed, everything. So good old technology. I don't have it all. Maybe my husband can run. He's more of a scripture regurgitator than me. But it says, he says to plant one seed per field. That's where Abba showed me, one seed per field. And that goes into the whole thing of, and I know that Gary Dose did a great presentation last year, and I think he did again this year on GMO seed and whatever. Yes. The seeds are, you know, they cross-pollinate, and they're doing this intentionally with splitting the seed, and now we have salmon tomatoes. Mm-hmm. Most of your tomatoes in the store are not even tomato, they're salmon. And that's so that they can withstand the frost.
Right.
Alaskan salmon. So you're eating like 80% salmon. And like something, I can't even remember the percentages, but look it up. It's not even tomato that you're eating. So again, I'm, this is not like, you know, become vegan this way, because even vegetarians, like, you need to know what you're eating. Because if you just think you're eating a tomato and you're healthier than the person who is eating meat, you're not. You need to get a good heirloom tomato, because you're a vegetarian and you're eating salmon. Ha ha. You know? So he said one seed per field. So I started studying agriculturally. How did Abba want us to have our food? And he wanted that for a reason, multiple reasons. I believe another reason was that, can you imagine one seed per field and you want a lot of, that's a lot of land you got to have. Because I don't have a lot of land. I'm going one seed per field. How am I going to do this? It's like, you know, lettuce. Okay, is that enough for a field? Because I don't have it. You know? I was like, wow, this is really hard. But I think the reason for that, I thought about where we've all come from. And it seems like, you know, Baptists know a lot about baptism. Pentecostals know a lot about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know? In these different denominations where we come from, they seem to have like a niche of what they have. And I believe that Abba sprinkled his seed a little bit into each denomination. And the only way we're going to have the full picture is when we come together. and share. Mm-hmm. At harvest. At this time when we're supposed to bring from the harvest. Because it's really difficult if you try to know it all and plant it all. I mean, you could try, but you're going to be really wearing yourself out. And it would seem a lot easier, like a friend of mine, we have sandier soil because we're near the lake in Wisconsin, like, and it to grow the carrots and potatoes a little bit easier, but he can't grow them good where he is at 20 miles in. It's like, well, I'll grow this, you grow that, and we'll just share. So he showed me that that it was true, that the seeds are being, and we know that they're being manipulated. Mm-hmm. They've been divided. And the final thing that he showed me that it was his word, and that's why people are sick spiritually, is because the man, something with an M, do you remember what his name is?
Marco.
Yeah, he put the divider in the Bible. I don't know if that's it.
Marcion.
He put that divider in the Bible, and the seed, the word of God, has been split. So we have people living off of either the New Testament or the Old Testament, but they're getting a split seed. Mm-hmm. And that's a spiritual physical. And so they're eating and they're digesting of the word and they're sick because they're not getting the whole thing. Another thing he showed me with it is that, and this goes more for the new believer, found in the instruction with the fruit trees. You're not supposed to touch them for like 4 years, I think it is. Right?
Right.
Because they need nourishment. We get new believers in the door, even
trees?
In the church. What's that?
Messiah. Which are trees.
Messiah. Which are trees. Messiah says we are all trees. You can know them by our fruit. And whether it's in the Messianic movement or the Hebrew, we're trying to pick off of them and push them and expect something out of them that's not there. And they need to grow and be nourished. And the other thing that we're doing is we're shoving this food down their throat too fast and it can't digest. They're getting all combined into fermentation and they become this big toxic gas because they aren't having the time to take one bit of food and digest it. And okay, I get it. And the Father convict them and move on to the next thing. We're shoving it all in there just the way we do when we eat dinner. And they can't digest it and get the most that they could. The energy that Abba wants us to have and the spiritual application to apply it to their life, they're getting it so fast because everybody wants, come on, do this walk, that they're becoming sick. So that's how he revealed to me that this is true, at a spiritual, physical level. So I'll go into a little bit about the combinations. Do you guys mind handing out the rest of the charts to anybody who doesn't have them? Just you can raise your hand.
Yeah. Does anybody not have them?
Yeah, there's a couple people who came in that.
Oh,
you did get them. Okay, never mind. Thanks, Hannah. Great job. So, and I want to tell you that I have 5 kids. This is completely applicable for your life. I don't care if you have 1 kid, you're single, or you have a family. You can do it. It's hard, just like anything else is in the beginning, because it's new. But anything that we do, that we practice, becomes routine, and it's just a part of our life. So it can be done. I did 3 different charts because some people like different types of flow charts. I mean, you know, when I started studying it, looking at different, I was like, well, this it just looks like, how can you even make sense out of it? Or this. So I think that this is one of the easier ones, and it's where the circles touch, it's okay to combine. But if they don't touch, you can't combine. But as you can see, there it doesn't list a lot of the foods. It's just a simple example. That's why I did this one, so that you could see more of an exhaustive list and start to get the idea. As I said, some of the things that I was combining, and that was really bad. I mean, nuts and fruit. I mean, how many times do you have a salad that has nuts in it?
Right.
Spinach. Strawberries and walnuts, one of my fave. Hello. I was like, what? You know, and just some of the things. A hamburger. It's terrible. A hamburger in a bun is a terrible combination. And we do that all the time. Mm-hmm. Now, if you just want a hamburger, eat the hamburger. But don't eat the bun with it. So sometimes when we eat our Passover lamb or we have fish, which we do, we just have greens with it because it helps aid the digestion. But we do not have potato. That's one of the hardest things that we were taught. Meat, potato, vegetable. You know, it's like, well, you really want that mashed potato or that baked potato with that meal because it tastes so good. That's what we're supposed to do. Or even like the fish or the whatever with the rice. Mm-hmm. Because you think that's a better alternative. Well, I'll have brown rice instead of the white potato. But still, you shouldn't be having that starch combination with that. And so just tweaking and go, okay, well, what could I do? Instead of looking at what I can't do, what can I do? And what's going to help? And it just works. So I'm going to explain the basics of this through. And I'm so glad I didn't. They're having a problem with trying to find so many projectors and whatnot. And I asked if we would need one or could we get one ourselves. I was like, well, I'm just going to just do this the old-fashioned way, good old demonstration. And with my computer crashing on top of it, I'm like, oh, thank God I didn't rely on that. So if you guys want to come up. Nick and Hannah are going to hold these balls here, these different color balls. And these are going to represent the enzymes that are in our digestion that are going to make our food readily available to turn into energy. Let's see how I'm going to do this here. So, typical American diet, you want to have your eggs and breakfast, and this will just represent a donut. It's a cookie, but it's a donut or whatever. You might even have some fruit with that. Just think of all different types of fruit, like if it's a banana, strawberry, oranges, whatever it might be. Somebody sits down there and eats their eggs and whatnot in the morning. We're going to add in there? We're going to add a little sausage, a little turkey sausage in there. They sit down and they're going, okay, we're going to start eating the egg. Protein, so this is the lineup for protein to be absorbed into the body. It goes to this first enzyme and it starts to break down. And protein is very hard for our body to break down in the form of animal protein. But it can be done, and the stomach acid can do it. So the body knows. God made our body so magnificent that when we smell it and taste it, and as soon as it gets on our palate, it increases the acids in our stomach. So it goes to this first, and it's breaking down, and it's breaking down. It's kind of moving a little bit to this next one here. Hannah, come a little bit closer. Okay, and we decide we're going to eat the next thing, which is this. But the problem is this lineup. To digest this starch right here is not that. Oops, that's okay. It's gone. It's this that gets pushed through, undigested.
What does?
The egg. It's done. Yeah.
Unbroken down.
Yep. It gets unbroken down, shoved through, undigested, and unutilized by the body.
Huh.
Because this lineup of enzymes is different for starch than for protein. So then this starts coming down the line. And it gets to about here. And all of a sudden, somebody decides that they want their fruit. Let's represent this as fruit, whatever it is, grapefruit or an orange or whatever it might be. But the problem is, for fruit, this is the enzyme breakdown. And so this just gets pushed through. And now this is trying to get digested. Okay, so you kind of get the picture. It's different for each thing. And so what they try to do is figure out what is the most like enzymes needed. And this is scientific. This isn't even, they've just done studies and researched it, that it can break down the food properly. That's why if you're going to eat meat, having that big greens or some steamed kale or something with it is good because it's full of real live enzymes. Salad would be best because when you cook your food, the enzymes are depleted, that it will help break that down. So what happens, okay, you guys can sit down, is the stomach then, here's your stomach, there it is, there's the food, right there. Ooh, that looks nice. And it's fermenting and creating gases, and it has nowhere to go, it can't do anything. And I'm going to submit to you that is why we see a lot of people with skinny legs and skinny arms and big old bellies. Doesn't even have to be a beer stomach or this stomach or whatever. It's undigested food and it's inflamed intestines, period.
Wow.
So, again, I went to the Father and I said, where is this in your word? Show me. And if anybody knows, that's commonly referred to as the Bitter Waters teaching, Numbers 5. What did the adulterous bride, what she had to do, or who was being
tested,
thank you. She drank the cup and what happened? She was guilty. We got a lot of guilty old people out here that are guilty of, and I would say number one thing is gluttony, period. Just want to eat whatever you want to eat, and if you can't eat food, I dare you, do not eat it. Like, just think about how challenging it is when you fast. It's like, we see it, we want it, we eat it, we crave it, go to the store, honey, go pick it up, go eat it. It's like one of the number one things I think it is. And in fact, there was we did some missions to Haiti and whatnot, and one of the foreigners come in and they said, "What do you think about our country?" And what I said, "I think your signs say who your gods are." And then I was asked again, "Well, what do you mean, your signs? What are you talking about? Your signs, they're advertised everywhere who your gods are. What do you mean? This block alone, you've got three gods. That one," which was McDonald's, "that one, that just lined up, your choice, what do you want? All these gods of, take your pick, you know?" So the stomach, again, supposed to be our energy center where water is flowing from. And it's not just food, but people have a lot of idols. I think it's a sign for us to say, wake up. We're in adultery, and we need to cleanse. We need the Father to purify us. What happens then, folks, is when this food does not get digested properly, that fermentation, that gas, goes into our bloodstream. Too long of having that toxic gas into our bloodstream, the body recognizes it as it not being foreign anymore, but being a part of who you are, and cancer takes over. So, you know, some things happened this last year. I'm hearing a lot of people saying it was one of the toughest years they ever had. A lot of trial and stuff. My husband had a rash come upon his arm, and it got about 5 times the size of his arm. And it was dripping pus, and I mean, hours at a time. It was just the craziest thing we ever saw, dripping and this craziness. And my sister, he went to the doctor after about a month and a half of that, because people were really pretty worried about staff and whatnot. And I think we did more to appease our family, because they were really worried that he was going to have staff or go septic. That he went to the doctor, and the doctors didn't know what, and they sent him home. My sister had a skin rash cover her whole body. The doctors call it Kawasaki, I think it's called, which is, I know that's a motorcycle or something, but you look it up. And if you look up the basis of the principles of it, it's they're saying it's a breakdown of the lymphatic system, which is our health. It's one of the biggest systems for our health, and that's all they could say, and they say it just goes away. She had that for a month. My nephew, you know, she's in Texas, we're in Wisconsin. My nephew, who's in Michigan, broke out in a rash, and they didn't know what it was. He had that for about 2 months. So I started praying. I started emailing Paul Neeson, all, what's going on? What's going on with these rashes, Abba? What is it? And he said, people still aren't willing to face the adultery in their stomach, and the only way for it to get out is through the skin, and the rashes will just increase. Before, you saw it as eczema or maybe psoriasis, but now we're just going to see these crazy rash conditions that nobody knows what they are. And the worry of that, or the fear for that, for his people is that, and there's reasons again why he says, you know, don't shave the beard or cut the corners. I mean, we really shouldn't be shaving our legs like the pagans did, and thousands of lacerations all over our body. When epidemics go through, that's thousands of places for disease to get in. People have skin rashes all over their body that are seeping and open, whatever, and they release these pandemics meant to kill us. They darn right could, if Abba's grace doesn't cover us, because we're doing things that are sinful and not good for us, and it's not him doing it, it's our lack of, my people die for a lack of knowledge. So that will, you probably will continue to see that, the skin rashes, unknown skin rashes and breakouts of all different kinds, coming through the head, extreme dandruff. You might have, know people with flaky skin. It's just trying to get out. No matter how much people try to hydrate, it seems like it can't get out. So that is kind of it in a nutshell. And you can kind of look at the food combining chart and see where the combinations come. Let me check my time real quick. 9:30. Okay. So when you eat your food properly. And I would recommend this book. It's called Food Combining and Digestion, 10 Ways to Improve Your Digestion. Steve Meyerowitz, Meyerowitz. And then there's another one called Food Combining Made Easy. So this one's Food Combining and Digestion. And then there's another one called Food Combining Made Easy. It's just a tiny little thing. You can get it on Amazon. It's like literally, the other book is about this thick. I lent it out to somebody, so I couldn't bring it with me. But the print is real small, so for those of you who need reading glasses and whatnot, the other book is harder to read because the font is small, but it gives more examples. And I want to believe that the guy is a believer. The other one who wrote in his Herbert, I always say Armstrong, and my honey goes, my husband goes, no, it's not Armstrong. it will come to me. It's Herbert something. This one is Food Combining and Digestion. And the other one is Food Combining Made Easy. This one is Steve Meyerowitz. And the other gentleman who wrote that book, I had to start, that was one of the first classes they teach you in your quest to be a naturopathic doctor, was Food Combining. The first one. It's like the foundation of everything, really, is what it is. And Herbert, the gentleman who wrote the other book, I mean, they started that already back in like the 70s, the 60s with the food combining. And so some of the books, it's funny because they look at the pictures and the drawings and some of the references. I was like, wow, this has been around for a long time. And he does weight lifting and running marathons, and he's an athlete, triathlon. And so some of the biggest objections, like especially for us for being vegan, is like, well, how do you get your protein? But there's a pound of protein, or there in a pound of spinach and a pound of meat, it's the same. The protein is the same. And we came, and our refrigerator was stuffed to the rims of, I mean, bags of lettuce. And we went through it, and we're down to like nothing now. It's just been a week. You can do when you eat that, you know, you will eat it when you switch to healthier options. And I'm not, again, like I'm saying, if you're a meat eater, just get it organic, get it grass-fed, and just make the right combinations. Greens with your meat, keep the starch out of that. Oh, here's another good tip that you could read in these books. Eat your meat at night. And I do agree with Paul with the daylight diet. Eat before it gets dark, but eat it at night. And this is the reason why. In the morning, fruit enzymes are most like our body. Easily digested. Go figure, we were made to be in a garden. Okay, you eat fruit in the morning. This is what our family does, our green smoothie with banana. You'll see that's okay combination. We'll have fruit in the morning. And I think it's 20 to 30 minutes, and it's already gone through, it's already being digested, 20 to 30 minutes. Then if somebody's still hungry, they might have like a piece of toast or something. But usually, go ahead.
What did you say, the combination of banana and?
Oh, I'll just mix greens, like I'll have spinach or mixed greens or whatever, yeah. Just plain. I don't put any sugar, no nothing, just greens and banana. I'll take questions in just 1 second. And then at noon, you know, around noontime, if we're eating, we'll have salad or maybe wraps.
What are your wraps?
I usually have buckwheat wraps. And then we'll just have like greens in there and, you know, vegetables and whatnot. And then at dinner, if you were to eat meat, I would suggest eating it then. And this is why. If you eat your last meal before the sun sets, before it's dark, and that's very important to do because of the pituitary and other things that start to shut down and go into rest mode. Let's say you eat at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock at night. You get up at 5. That's 12 hours of digestion time with nothing else going on it. And it's going to break down appropriately, and your body will get, because it takes 12 to 48 hours for meat to digest. Animal protein. So if you're having turkey bacon or sausages in the morning and you're already putting food on top of that at lunch, that's not digested. Mm-hmm. It can't be. And it's going to cause compilation and fermentation in the stomach. So if you eat meat, I would eat it at the end. Don't eat meat during the day. Eat it at the end of the day. And that will be the best time for you. Or if you want to just eat it in the middle of the day, like the times that we've had like Passover, or we've had some type of meat during, we just don't eat anymore. We just kind of like fast the rest of the night because we do find ourselves to be pretty full and content anyway. And you want to keep sugars away from proteins. That's actually one of the worst ones. Sugar would be first, and then starch would be the next. And a lot of times, you know, you eat that good old meal. Now you've had your meat and your potato. And then people have a good old piece of pie for dessert because they just, you know, that sugar on top of there. Because remember, I was eating fruit salad with nuts. There's no meat in that. That's a protein and a sugar, and it was blowing up my stomach. And actually, I would have gas right away, and I was thinking it was good. good, my bowels must be moving, and that's got to be a good thing. So the more gas I had, I thought it was the better, and it's actually the opposite. Think about chili. I don't know anybody who can eat chili and not have a rumbly tummy or have gas, and that's because of all the bad combinations in it, especially if it has meat. But even if it doesn't have meat, you have a protein if you have meat in there. You have your, if you have your chili beans or your kidney beans, that's a protein starch. There, it falls into both. Then you have tomato, which is an acid, which and also sugar. And it's just, you eat it and 20 minutes later, and that's just ripping the insides up. And when I say fermentation, I would like you guys to think of ripping, a roaring ocean, ripping your insides up. Because you can't see it, but I don't. Maybe some of you've seen pictures on the internet where people have eaten pork or bad to digest the stomach of this animal or the stomach of that, where they're feeding the different things, the GMO corn versus a vegetarian diet, and seeing the digestion. The biggest thing I hear people say, "Well, that's you. You have those problems. That's not me." Well, I beg I'm just praying that they don't go to the doctor when something starts to be wrong, and the doctor says, "I'm sorry to tell you, you only have 4 months left. You can't see your insides." You know, and one of the funny things that it says in this book, I think it's the food combining made easy. It says the proof is in the poof.
Yeah.
If you're poofing, it's not good. And if it smells, it's not good. In fact, our BO shouldn't even smell. Our breath shouldn't even smell. Because that's toxins trying to get out of the body.
Wow.
And in fact, I usually don't ever wear deodorant, and I don't have, by the end of the day, I might be a little, you know, fresh smelling. But I usually, it's not a problem. If I start eating things that I shouldn't, whew. Another major misconception, not putting onions and garlic in everything that you eat. Onions and garlic is meant to be like a medicinal thing from our Father. And it does take everything out. But when you combine it with your food, it does the same thing.
That's
so, no, it's not. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I'm right there with that garlic press doing. I was like, what? But if you really think about it, some of those homemade concoctions of onion and garlic and whatever that you take, it's true. Because it pulls everything out. But it does the same thing with your food. And you'll also find that if you cut onion and garlic out, you probably won't need to worry about deodorant or BO. And when I put that back into my food, I'm like, whoa, man, I'm ripe. I can smell my kids and everything. Wow, what did we, oh, we put garlic. We put the garlic in there, and it's, and it really is. So if you want to keep using that to be a natural cleanse or to stay with for sickness rather than don't use it. And that's another thing, is like the things that we use regularly every day and day out, it kind of gets our body immune to them so that when we do use it, it won't work as properly. The only thing there, well, there's a couple things. The one thing that I would say every day is turmeric. Mm-hmm. Turmeric, if you look it up online, it's ancient medicinal, and you really can't overdose on it. We don't take any pharmaceuticals anymore. Haven't for years, and if, it doesn't matter if it's tooth pain, back pain, whatever. We use it as a pain reliever mostly, but it also helps against prostate cancer, colon cancer, breast cancer, helps speed up your metabolism, blood circulation. I mean, the list is like...
It's awesome.
Yes, and you can, if you're going to take it like we do, like I'll take, you know, 10 capsules a day. And so we just make our own. You could get a gel capsule maker and just make your own. And if you can find a co-op or whatever to get your bulk, to get bulk spices, Frontier. Yeah, I use Frontier, then it's just much easier. But turmeric is one of the things that I would say that's okay to take it every day because it's just so beneficial for your body. I'm trying to think of, there was something else I was going to mention. Yeah, we're going to take questions in just 1 second here. I can't remember what it was. I guess maybe it will come back to me, but if we're eating properly this way, you'll get more energy from your food. I mean, at first, if you start to do this, you might feel worse, just like with any kind of detox. You might feel hungrier. Like, this is bogus. I'm hungry all the time. Your body's getting used to not just having that full feeling is what it is. And we actually found our grocery bill went down. Because we can have a green smoothie and we're good for 2 hours at least. And my kids will be the ones who will complain usually first because they're more energetic and their metabolisms, I'm sure, are going faster than mine. But then we'll have the salad and the wraps or something like that, just salad, and we're fine. And one of the biggest objections, if you're on this path already, you might hear that, I can't afford that. I can't afford to eat that way. But really, when you're getting the energy that you need, you don't need to eat as much. And if you want it, you pray for it, Abba will give it to you. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to have life and life abundant. Whether you grow it, whether you find a source, I'm a terrible gardener. Every year, well, I shouldn't curse myself that way. Abba's going to make me a great gardener. And in the meantime, my husband ended up having a client that owns a produce company. He knew how important it was for me to eat this way. And our grocery bill just kept trying to get through the store. And the client found out that we're vegans and said, why don't you just get your produce from me? We're getting all of our produce at cost.
Wow, that's great.
If you want it, you pray for it. Why would Abba not want you to have that for you to be healthy? You know? And in the meantime, I keep on gardening and I keep on trying. You know? That's another thing I wanted to say. Just being careful of cursing yourself. I didn't find out that I had cancer until I was already on the path to healing. And I praise Abba for that. Because I already told myself a million times a day I'm dying and cursing myself that way. And there is just huge evidence in the power of blessing. I'm not against water machines. Alkaline water machines is very important for our body to be water alkaline. And I believe these alkaline water machines, some of them are very good. You have to find a reputable one. Spring water is the best thing that we could drink. The alkalinity of that is between 7 to 10, and that's perfect what you'd want it to be. But our water is not. It's usually like more on the acidic side of 4. And these alkaline machines will charge your water so that they're where you should be if you can't find a spring source. Sometimes you can look on a map and find springs that you can go to. It's just really hard because you don't know if there's runoff going into those springs or what's going on. But I want to tell you, if you can't afford them, and I don't have the names of them right off. We haven't been able to afford our own yet, but I know that Abba's going to do it. I heard of a man, I read something about a man who took his water and decided to do this. He went and got all these lab tests when he started this experiment. He had all his blood testing done, thyroid, all the different types of tests that he could have done at the lab, and specifically for this purpose. And then every other month, he would have the test done. And because he couldn't afford a water machine to drink better water, he just held the water and blessed it. He spoke a Hebrew blessing over the water every day and drank it, or every hour that he was drinking the water. He had the same results as the person who didn't have the water machine. What is that telling us? Even though we can't maybe afford all the things, Abba wants us to have it anyway. So if we just rely on him, again, I always want to say, go to him, go to him, go to him. I mean, if you can't afford an alkaline water machine, pray over your water every day and believe it. There you go. Now it's alkaline, and it's going to provide what we need. Go to the Word. He's our water. He's going to give it to us. So I don't want to make it sound like I'm trying to drive people away either. He gave us these things to keep us healthy, but ultimately he is the source. And he knows that the food is going worse and worse. He knows if we pray, put our trust in him, blessing over our food, bless ourselves. I mean, you guys may already do this. Every week we denounce curses over our children and ourselves. And my husband prays over me. We pray over the children. And we just try to watch our tongue so that we are blessing our bodies and transforming the water within them. We're like over 80% water. And if we could do that on our own, the cancer, regardless, would not be able to stay if we were infilled with the Holy Spirit and living that Spirit-filled life. So, does anybody have any questions? Yes.